Open the Word of God to Proverbs 8. Proverbs chapter 8. We'll read the whole chapter. We're going to consider verses 1 to 9, first third of the chapter this afternoon. I guess technically it's first quarter of the chapter, but the first section we're going to consider. Proverbs 8, we're going to read the whole chapter and look at verses 1 to 9. As you hear these words, hear them as the very words of Christ. Does not wisdom cry out, and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill, beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence. And you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. Well, as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters could not transgress or would not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was beside him as a master craftsman. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, we, as we've been working our way through the book of Proverbs, have heard, been hearing the call of Proverbs to wisdom, to be filled with the wisdom of God, to come to receive his commands, to receive his instructions, and to live. That the way of wisdom is life, and the way of rejecting wisdom is foolishness. And as we've been working our way through this, particularly as we looked last time at chapter 7, that this is not only, the book of Proverbs is not only calling us to wisdom, but is also exposing the foolishness of our own hearts. It is showing us what we don't have by reminding us of what we need. It's exposing our natural heart that says, I'm going to live by how I feel, what I see, what I want. I'm going to be wise in my own eyes I'm going to take even what God has to say and measure it out according to my standard and see if it's what I like. But Proverbs comes and it says there's only one standard, and it's God's standard. You need His wisdom. This is, you know, these chapters, these first nine chapters that really hammer this home before we get to the actual wisdom that comes later in the book, the Proverbs that come, and it shows we need the fear of the Lord to understand those things rightly and to live rightly and to live it all. We need God. We need the fear of the Lord, a proper and holy and an awe of who He is, and to trust in Him and to put our hope in Him. What we need is a supernatural wisdom, something that overrides, supersedes the wisdom, the natural wisdom of the heart that needs to be transformed and changed and replaced. And further, we need a wisdom that is not just some concepts out there, but is personally applied and is a personal wisdom for us in our own lives. And it is as personal as it gets, because the wisdom of God is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. We need not just some new ideas, but we need Jesus Christ Himself, who is the great revelation of God's wisdom, including here in Proverbs, and especially here in Proverbs chapter 8, where He comes to speak as wisdom itself. In chapter 7, we considered how Lady Folly comes to try to draw us, to lure us to death, to promise all sorts of things, offering us worldly wisdom that leads to death. In chapter 8, we have the counter message. We have the counter message, a message of life, of Lady Wisdom, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need that messenger, not just the message of life, but we need the messenger Himself to bring us this message to our souls. For the wisdom that we need is not some earthly ideas with a little pinch of heaven tossed in. But what we need is the words from the divine mouth itself. The words of God. The words from the Word of God, from Jesus Christ. And so what we have here in Proverbs chapter 8 is that message from Jesus Christ, one of the most beautiful pictures of Christ and the gospel that we have in the whole of the Old Testament. As we hear the call of Christ to us, may the Holy Spirit open our ears and our hearts to receive and believe and respond in faith to what we hear from Proverbs 8. As we consider these first nine verses, the first invitation of Christ here in Proverbs 8. Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God, calls you to listen and be wise. Are you listening? Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God, calls you to listen and be wise. Are you listening? Excuse me. Before we get to the words of the call themselves, we have the setting for the call. We hear Jesus calling us, we see the setting, and then we get to His call for us to be wise, and then his call for us to come to Him to be made wise. Jesus calls, He calls you to be wise, and then He calls you to come to Him to be made wise. Well, first we have this setting. Wisdom is portrayed here as the one doing the crying out. Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. Wisdom is personified, Lady Wisdom, as I've mentioned to you before, but this picture is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He is the one calling to you from His Word. Solomon is writing here, like his father David did, prophetically, speaking how much he knew of exactly what the fulfillment of this would be is unknown to us. We know that he, like other prophets, would have looked into these things and desired to see their fulfillment. But like David, who wrote Psalm 16 and Psalm 110, and that we know that he would write prophetically, writing of Jesus Christ. It is Christ here who is the one calling out. He's the one who pursues us with the words that we need, the words of hope, the words of life, the words of the gospel. Here is Jesus Christ coming. He, in his gospel, calls out, it cries out, lifts up his voice for you and I to hear and respond. It is our only hope that Jesus Christ calls us, pursues us, and fervently desires our faith in him. Without it, we would be lost in our foolishness, and we would have no ability nor desire to get out. But here Christ comes, calling. And even now, as you hear this word tonight, wherever you're at, he's calling you to himself. He came to this world to call sinners and to save them by his power. He came, Jesus Christ, anointed beyond measure by the Holy Spirit, to come and to proclaim the message of the gospel, coming as our prophet, declare to us by his word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. He came crying out to the multitudes to hear him. John 7, verses 37 and 38. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." One instance where Jesus would go and he'd cry and he'd declare the will of God for our salvation. And Jesus comes and he cries out, not in the corner, but he calls out from the high places. Verse 2, she takes her stand on top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. He calls out, as it were, he shouts it from the rooftops. He comes and declares and cries out and calling sinners to come and be made wise. He stands at the crossroads, that is where the paths meet, where there are two paths. We all walk on the path of death until Christ calls us into the path of life. But he stands at the crossroads to many that are traveling on the broad way, and he calls them to the narrow way, and he says, "Come and live." To the travelers who are going, there is no third way. And Jesus Christ calls, and he calls you to come and to live, and it may be the only time that these paths cross in your life. That he calls you and he says, "Come and live." You changed from death to life. Do you hear the call? The call of God to come and live. The call of Christ. Are you listening to what Jesus has to say? The scene in verse 3 is the scene at the city. Wisdom cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. This is a public setting. This is where lots happened. This is where judgments were rendered at the city gates. This is where business was transacted. This is where many people would be coming in and out. And here we're talking about people coming in to the city, at the entrance of the doors as they come in. And Christ calls publicly, loudly to all who would hear him, "Come and live." You know, it's in chapter 7 that Lady Folly did her business at night. She'd be lurking in the corner. She'd be working under darkness. She'd be seeking to find somebody that she could lure into her trap. But Jesus comes in the day. Wisdom calls in the day. Unashamed of the message, trumpeting the gospel hope. It's so interesting because when you think of our world wants to shout evil and immorality from the rooftops and to silence the message of the gospel, to say, "You can't say that here. You need to just stick in your own little corner, and eventually that corner will be wiped out." Our world trumpets evil and silences good, but we as the church must never give in to that. Always, like our Savior, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ loudly and clearly for all to hear. We must not be quiet. Christ certainly wasn't, as he appears before the high priest at his trial in John 18. He says to them, "The high priest is asking about his disciples and his doctrine, and Jesus said, I, I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where the Jews always meet, and in secret I have said nothing. There are many who have heard what I've had to say. Jesus Christ came to proclaim, to call sinners to himself, and he still does that. As the word is being proclaimed, as his word is being preached and taught, are you and I listening to the message of Christ, to the wisdom of God? Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God, calls you to listen and be wise. Are you listening? Well, Jesus calls. Let's begin to hear what he has to say, beginning with who he is calling to. Verses 4 and 5. Jesus calls you to be wise. To you, O men, I call. My voice is to the sons of men or the children of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence. And you fools, be of an understanding heart. The first words of Jesus Christ are an invitation to all to hear. I know it talks about men and sons of men, but these are the generic terms for all people. He's not just limiting the message and the call of wisdom just to the male gender. He's calling all to hear. The call of the gospel of Jesus Christ is not limited to those who are the elect, to those who are well-studied and well-trained, to those who are particularly smart, to those who have been particularly gifted or have some sort of thing to commend them. The call of the gospel, the general call of the gospel, the preaching of the word, is to be preached to all, not limited, but proclaimed far and wide. And that let's follow the ministry of Jesus Christ as he would go along the seashores and be preaching to the multitudes, and he'd go into the temple and he'd be preaching to the crowds that would gather there. Everywhere he went, in the synagogues, he would preach and proclaim. And he would preach. He would preach to the religious leaders. He would preach to other rulers who would hear him. But he also preached to the sinners, the tax collectors, the lepers, the adulterers. He preached to all the message of the kingdom of God. Repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And God called you and me when we were yet enemies, when we were yet fools, when we were yet simple-minded. Christ died for us. We were called by him into his family. And so we have the same call to follow on what Christ has done. As we go into all the world, we proclaim this same message: come and be made wise. As the church does through the word, as we do through our witness in our day-to-day lives. He comes and he calls. Another way to know this is as broad a call as you can get is because we fall into, every single person by nature falls into the verse 5 description. O you simple ones, and you fools. Simple, like the youth in chapter 7 that we considered, one with no moral direction, one who is swept along by the trends of the age, who gets pulled along by, well, everyone else is doing it, and so, well, it must be good because everyone else seems to think it's good. No solid ground to stand on, but on the shifting sands of the culture. They're fools. Fools are those whose heart is deaf to the truth, whose eyes are blind. And so his moral direction is easily discerned, isn't it? Because he has none. The bad behavior results, the sin and the wickedness. What the scriptures say to you and to me is that by nature we are all simple and we are all fools. Drifting along, no moral ability whatsoever outside of Jesus Christ. And so the audience for Christ, who calls to the fools and to the simple, is as wide as the world, as broad as everyone on this planet. Matthew Henry writes, "These words are calculated not only for men that are capable of wisdom, but for sinful men, fallen men, foolish men that need it and are undone without it." And the only difference, the only one who makes the difference in our lives, that we no longer are identified as fools or simple, is Jesus Christ who calls. And what does he call with? He gives you a command. Oh, simple ones, understand prudence. That's a command. And you fools, be of an understanding heart. Have an understanding heart. This is what you need. To gain a heart that knows the difference between right and wrong and is able to do good and not evil. This is indeed, in fact, what this whole book of Proverbs is all about, isn't it? Right from the beginning, we learn of what the purpose of this book, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom. And so it goes on. This is what this book promises for you and I to gain. Wisdom that we need, that we're commanded to have, is not just an addition of a few different thoughts into our mind and the rearranging of a few strands of thinking in our hearts, but we need a heart transplant. We need to be completely changed. To understand and to benefit from the book of Proverbs is not just a matter of reading it a few times and memorizing it, and you're saying, I got a photographic memory, so I'll be wise in no time. Not at all. You need a heart transplant. You need to hear Christ. Because you see, the response, your response to this command in verse 5 is, and probably is, I can't do that. I can't understand prudence or be of an understanding heart. Lord, I can't do it. How do you command it? You're asking me to do the impossible. And Jesus' response, as we're going to see in this chapter, is absolutely, I'm commanding you to do the impossible because you can't do it without me. You need me. You want to be wise. You need to be wise. You want to obey. You need me. That's why the message continues. Jesus Christ pursues you. He invites you to himself to be made wise. He's right in front of you this afternoon, calling you. And your response is to say, Lord, give me an understanding heart. Lord, change me, teach me, make me to know your ways. Make me new. And you come to the right place, for it is in Jesus Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, all the wisdom of God is in him, and he comes, he commands you, but he invites you to come to him to receive what you need. Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God, calls you to listen and be wise. Are you listening? Are you listening? You must listen and respond in faith. The only way to the wisdom that you need is Christ. He is the wisdom of God. And so Jesus not only calls you to be wise, but by his grace and mercy, he calls you to come to him to be made wise. Come to me. I will make you wise. See this in verses 6 to 9. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things. From the opening of my lips will come right things. What's going to come out of my mouth is wisdom. You want wisdom? Listen to me. Hear what I have to say. It's a reminder to you and me, brothers and sisters, that the wisdom of God, God's truth, the gospel of God, the truth of God's word, these things are not secrets to be held back by God. This is not a special knowledge that's only accessible by the elites of society or a special small little group of people. The word of God is given and what is to be spread to all people to receive it, to hear it, and to receive it. The wisdom of God is for all to hear. And listen, it's laid out in the word. If you're not in Jesus Christ or you're watching this, you're hearing this, and you're thinking you want to know the truth, the scriptures are laid out pretty clear. We give you the word of God. We're not hiding something. This isn't like, you know, here's the Bible, and now you're in Jesus. Well, here's some special knowledge we're going to give you. Yes, of course, the scriptures need to be spiritually discerned. You need the Holy Spirit to understand them in your heart. But what God has given us is laid out in the Bible. So when Jesus calls you to come to him for wisdom, he's laying out what that wisdom is. He's offering you that wisdom. If anyone promises you secret knowledge, and so many that promise some secret knowledge, a special knowledge, no one ever discovered this until I discovered something in the Bible. God revealed something special to me. Now I can reveal it to you. Run as fast as your legs can take you. The wisdom of God is laid out for us. Christ comes and he says, listen. Listen. Hear, and in all the scriptures, listen to me. And I will give you divine wisdom. I will speak of excellent things, he says. Those are his noble things. Princely things, literally what it means. Princely means something that's elevated above everything else. We say somebody paid a princely sum of money for something. It means that they paid a high value. They paid a large amount of money. It was an elevated amount of money for something. And so here, these are princely things. These are elevated above the things of the world. It's because they're elevated to heaven. They're heaven's truth. Those things that Christ comes to tell us of the glory of the Lord. To reveal to us the glorious salvation that was planned by our God perfectly. Princely, excellent things, he says. And from the opening of my lips will come right things. That is, upright things, straight things. Those things that lead clearly to life. Folly comes and offers and promises all sorts of, in some ways, similar things. But her ways are crooked. Her ways are twisting here, there, and everywhere until you end up in death. But God's ways are laid out upright and straight. He says, my mouth will speak truth. Truth is an attribute of God. It's in his very character. He is true. He is true. Exodus 34 lays it out there in his self-description. It's also a description of our Lord, John 1:14. We're going to come back to John 1 in a little bit. But John 1:14, the Word became flesh. This is Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I will speak truth. My mouth will speak truth. Jesus Christ comes and he says, I will tell you what you need, and I will speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. In fact, a lie is an abomination. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Throughout the scriptures, the idea of abomination, which is just the most horrific, sinful, evil thing it could be, abomination is the way the Lord views sin. The Lord, when something's an abomination, it's not so much an abomination to us as it is to the Lord, the holy, perfectly holy God. Things are described as being an abomination to the Lord, as it is consistently throughout the book of Proverbs. Just going back to Proverbs 6, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. And so consistently here, when wickedness is an abomination to my lips, again, seeing here, this is Christ himself speaking, the Lord himself. This is an abomination to the Lord. And if these things are an abomination to the Lord, we know that he will never tell us a lie. He will never speak truth. He'll never lead us astray. He'll never speak falsehood. He'll never lead us astray. You can trust him. You can trust what he has to say. It is pure and perfect and good for your soul. It's what your soul needs. Are you listening? All the words of my mouth are righteousness, are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. What he has to say to you is pure and holy, just like God himself. In Deuteronomy 32, Moses is, there's the song of Moses as he speaks to the people of Israel. Before he moves, he passes away. And he says to them, I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. And Moses contrasts it with God's people. God's covenant people who, he says, they have corrupted themselves. They are not his children because of their blemish. A perverse and crooked generation. See, God is perfect, pure, righteous, and holy. He's not perverse. He's not crooked. However crooked and sinful we may be, that is not him. What you need as his, to be his, and as his, is his righteousness. His pure, holy, straight wisdom. You need Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's not tricking you. He's not telling you something that isn't true. He is what you need. He is the straight way to life itself. He is the truth that you need to believe. He is the life that you need. And it's proclaimed here in Proverbs 8 as clearly as it is in John 14. Listen to the words of my mouth, and they will lead you in the straight and the right way to life. He invites you to come. In Jesus Christ, verse 9, the way is made plain. Though I think a better translation of that word is straight. The way, they are all straight to him. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. In contrast, rather, my words are all straight to him who understands. They're straight, the opposite of crooked. You can walk straight in Jesus Christ because of Jesus Christ. His way is straight. He gives light for your path. John chapter 1, Jesus came and entered into the darkness. He came to his own, but his own rejected him. He came to the darkness, but the darkness could, he came into the darkness, but the darkness could not comprehend the light. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. He made their way straight. He opened their eyes. They received from him what they did not have in themselves, which was the way to life. They heard, and by the grace of God, believed. Do you know this work in your own life? Do you know this work of Christ in your own life to make the way plain and clear before you? And praise God for what he's done. Praise God for what he's given you. Praise God for everything that you have, because nothing came from you. Nothing came according to your will and own understanding, something you figured out by yourself, but it all came from him. Now you might say, but not all things seem that plain to me. Not all things seem that straight to me. There's so much I still don't know. There's so many parts of the word that I still don't understand. I'm right there with you. We are not yet perfected. We do not yet have all knowledge. We do not yet know everything perfectly. But what we do know is true. What we do know is straight. What he has given us is what we need to press on in this life and make it to glory. Whatever darkness remains in our understanding of the scriptures is not God's fault. It's our own hearts, our own weakened understanding. It's still the remaining effects of the fall, but God continues to teach us. God continues to instruct us. You keep coming back to this Savior every time you open his word and you say, Lord Jesus, in Proverbs chapter 8, you promised to give wisdom. I need to be wise. I need to be prudent. I need understanding. Give me that understanding as I read your word, as I study it, as I dig and pour into the word. God will answer that prayer. God is pleased to teach and instruct us, not all at once, but he grows us. He teaches us. Wisdom is at work in you still. It's at work. And so this command to come is not just for the unbeliever, though it is for the unbeliever to come. If you've not ever believed and heard and responded in faith to the wisdom of God, come to the wisdom as he calls you tonight. But it's for us as believers to also come and come again and come again to be made wise in the Lord, to serve him. Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God, calls you to listen and be wise. He invites you to himself to be made wise. Are you listening? For the call of wisdom, Jesus Christ himself personally calling all to hear wisdom from the wisdom of God himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We read, Paul writes to the Corinthian church of those who had many who had rejected, both Jews and Greeks, who had rejected the message of the cross because it was foolishness. It was foolishness to the Greeks, to the stumbling block to the Jews. They couldn't get over it. They couldn't wrap their human natural minds around it. It was not wise to them. It was foolish to believe in such a God. But to those whose eyes were opened by Jesus Christ, it was wisdom. It was beautiful. It was beautiful message of hope and life. But to those, he says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24, to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. They saw him in his beauty, in the perfect wisdom that he is, and in the whole plan of salvation. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Their eyes were open to see what they could not see with their natural eyes. God made them wise in spite of what the world thought. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. The things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. The world sees as foolishness. The world hears and says, I don't need Jesus. It's foolish. But Jesus calls us, and he opens our eyes to see him, to believe in him, to receive this message of him. Do you know your own foolishness in yourself? It's a good place to be, but it's not the best place to be. To know your own foolishness is good, but to come to know the wisdom of God is where you need to stop, where you need to rest, where you need to have your end. But of him, is of God, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Jesus Christ calls you, come to me, know the wisdom of God. I am the wisdom of God. I am what you need. Come and be made wise. And come again and again and be made wiser still. May we live by faith in the wisdom of God to the praise of the glory of his name. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for a gospel call. For any who are yet fools and simple, living according to their natural heart and understanding, change the Lord. Change them. Make them wise tonight. And for all who are already in Christ, who already know something of this wisdom, whose hearts have indeed been transplanted, Lord, we still need more wisdom. We still need greater understanding. We need more prudence. And so we come again to Jesus. We come again to you and we pray, give us this wisdom and banish from us any remnants of worldly wisdom or understanding. The world may laugh and mock the cross. They may think it's foolishness. You've shown us that it is your perfect wisdom. You've shown us and opened our eyes to see the beauty of Christ. May we see him more and more and depend on him more and more and receive from him everything we need to live wisely day by day. Continue to make the way straight for us. Make it clearer for us. Take away any remaining darkness from our hearts and shine the light of your truth upon us. May we receive and believe the words of wisdom from your mouth. We would believe and live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.